the person who talks to the most customers will have the best ideas. Like if you only talk to internal stakeholders about your product or about the strategy, you're going to hit a local maximum of how good your ideas can be. It's capped by how smart the other people in the room are, right? But you can almost always come up with a new and constructive and productive ideas if you go out and talk to customers.
Hello, my name is Lauren D'Souza, and you're listening to Retain, the Customer Retention Podcast. More and more companies are wanting to focus on retaining customers, but what exactly are the powers of customer retention? And how are companies using it to keep their customers coming back for more? That's what we're here to find out. Our guest for today is a seasoned customer experience professional, Sarah Caldwell, VP of Customer Experience at Dovetail, a customer insights hub helping thousands of teams build better products. Sarah is at the forefront of shaping the company's hybrid go-to-market strategy, ensuring every customer can achieve their mission seamlessly. She is a multidisciplinary researcher who combines her love of technology, user research, and customer empathy to design great experiences for people at work. Sarah, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. Well, typically how I go about starting these episodes is finding out a little bit more about your background from you yourself, because obviously we've heard this great introduction about you and there's so many things that we're going to dive into today, but why not just start off with a bit of your background of how you got to where you are today?
Sure. Yeah. So the sort of through line in my professional career is really about helping people do their best work. So I started my career out as a secondary school, high school teacher, which I still feel like I get to use all the time today, both as a people manager and in terms of helping our customers. So first started out as a high school teacher, transitioned into tech by starting in an ed tech company called Neverware a few years ago in New York. And then from there, ran their CS and support organization, moved into a dedicated CS role at a company called Asana in 2015, which was my first sort of introduction into the world of B2B SaaS. Great place to work, worked there for about 5 years, and then transitioned into a company called Reforge, which really looks at professional development for folks in tech. So I've gotten the chance to kind of think about how people use technology to be better at work from a couple of different angles. But most recently, I started work at Dovetail, which is all about helping people get closer to their customers and really learn about how to create great products and services.
That's really cool. You must be the master of organization with working at Asana after all that experience.
Yes, it really does teach you how to track your work and get organized. That's so awesome. By no means the best at it, but I learned a lot.
That is awesome. Well, I think something that's really interesting that you've had a couple of different really unique experiences, but all having this thread of customer experience and kind of understanding really what the customer is looking for. And if I understand correctly, you were the leader, you were establishing Dovetail's customer experience team. So maybe if you could talk a little bit about your role at Dovetail and what was it actually like to establish the customer experience team there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was first hired at Dovetail to look after our customer success and support teams. And both those teams are classic CS and support, so focused on supporting customers to achieve their goals. So the CS team did that through building and partnering directly with champions at large companies. And then our support team would work through high volume communication and help resources, very kind of classic motions at any B2B SaaS company. But after about a year or so, it became clear that there was a gap in that go-to-market motion. So there were end users at our largest enterprise that were able to talk to a CSM about how to use Dovetail. But anyone who didn't have access to CS at Dovetail didn't really have a clear path in terms of how they were going to map their goals to the use of the product. So there wasn't a self-serve customer experience, essentially. And at the same time, we were seeing there was a lot of organic traction with our community. So people were raising their hands and wanting to get more involved and connect with one another. And so I moved over to start a customer experience team to really help bridge that gap and make sure that anyone who is using Dovetail, whether you were at a large enterprise or a small company, could have a great customer experience both in and outside of the product. So the team today is user education, some buyer enablement, community, and a function called research advocacy. And so we're all under one umbrella called customer experience that really focuses on scaled experiences that help people get the most out of Dovetail.
That's really interesting. And I guess research is a very important part of that because there's a lot that goes into the customer insights and really understanding for each one of your customers to understand about their customers with all those insights. So I guess with Dovetail's strategy around customer research and product design, what role is that research playing in customer retention?
Yeah, there's really, like a lot of things at Dovetail, it's very meta. So there's kind of two ways to look at this question, right? Like both as a product, how does Dovetail achieve this and focus on helping organizations imbue customer research into their work? And then also how do we do it internally at Dovetail? So how Dovetail as a product helps customer research sort of solve business problems, and then how we approach this problem like as a 100-person B2B SaaS org. So from the product point of view, I think the best part and kind of trickiest part about focusing on retention of customers is retention is an output, right? Of like all these interactions that a person and an organization has with a product or a service. And it's really complex and it's never just one thing. But when you distill the drivers of retention down, it's really about value, right? Like, can a person come to your product and solve a meaningful problem? And is it worth they pay for the product? So for me, the best way to find out what that meaningful problem is to deeply understand your customer and really prioritize customer research. So one of the mistakes actually that I see customer research functions make along the way is focusing on just like learning about customers instead of actual decision-making. And I think there's a lot of great writing on this topic, but my takeaway is that it's much more effective for customer research to help inform a specific decision like, what changes should we prioritize to retain existing customers? Rather than saying like, why are people churning, and then go talk to customers to try to figure that out, that's a much broader question that may not actually lead to actionable outcomes. So in terms of a specific example for Dovetail, for a long time, we were focused on helping individual users solve this problem of inefficient analysis and synthesis of data, right? So help people really quickly move through conversational research so they can be really impactful. And we did what I think was a great job of nailing that user problem. But when you talk to our end users, they share that problem, but then they're hyper aware of this separate organizational problem. They talk a lot about like what's a single source of truth for customer insights. And they talk about not wanting to be tapped on the shoulder by their coworkers. They want to have visibility into research. They don't want to duplicate research. And these are problems that an organization experiences, not necessarily a person. And so by talking to customers and actually doing this research of understanding not just how they use the product, but what problems they're trying to solve, that uncovered this whole separate user problem around what's the value we can provide a whole company, not just an individual researcher. And so following that pain has helped us really uncover this new and very sticky problem for companies, which is really around this customer insights hub, which you can see as you look at our website today, like that's the problem we're really going after. So by getting really close to our customers, we were actually able to uncover this new use case that has a really meaningful impact on Stickio.
Okay, interesting. And I really like what you mentioned at the beginning when you were setting the context around this, that you were saying that a lot of these research teams focus more on the learning and then they don't get to the decision-making, or it's gathering all this data and things like that. But I also even think some of these methods that you've talked about with your example showcase how to take action after getting those learnings. And so I think one key thing here is the fact that it's the way of which you're actually getting the learning. So how you said, either instead of saying, how do we reduce churn or why are customers churning, figuring out the actual specific action of what somebody is doing to get to said churn. And so I'm curious from your experience and your experiments in the past, what are some of the more efficient strategies or methods that you've used to learn about your customers, but in a way that's asking those very, very specific, direct, easy to measure questions?
Yeah. So I think there's some high level themes and then some very specific strategies that I've learned over time. From a high level, as we talked about, it's not just about learning about customers as a goal. I think if you set out to just learn about customers, you can waste a lot of time and effort, maybe not using the right methodology or not talking to the right people, and it can lead to some wasted cycles. And I think in the worst case scenario, actually kind of erode trust around the voice of the customer internally. And so this concept, which is not mine, it's based on Sir Johnny's, but it's this concept of decision first research, which is really about, can you start with the decision that you want to make as an organization and then map the research and the approach to the decision? And that's really about, can you ensure that companies and teams are integrating customer research throughout the product development process? I think the failure state is when teams bring in research or the customer at the end to validate a decision that's already been made. So this is really about having a very integrated team that works together throughout the entire product lifecycle and having researchers or just folks that talk to customers, people who do research, not necessarily capital R researchers, integrated at kind of every step of the way. In terms of really specific strategies, one thing that I've learned definitely working at Dovetail is use video. There is just nothing as impactful as a short clip showing a user like struggling with the UI or explaining why the product isn't taking off internally at their company or even like professing their enthusiasm for a feature. We have a tag internally at Dovetail called Customer Love. That tag circulates on our internal monitors at the company. That's huge. Like, it's easy for customer facing teams, I think, to forget what it's like to see a person interact with the product because of how much of their day is actually spent doing that. But product design and engineering may go weeks without actually getting on a call themselves. And so the novelty and like the tactile nature of video, of seeing someone work with the product, is just really, really powerful. So video for sure. And that's something obviously that Dovetail does really well. So that's something just internally that we use a ton and things that I've seen be really impactful with our customers as well. Another one is a ritual that we have internally here called Customer Showcase. A lot of companies do things like this. Asana did something called Chips and Clips, where having someone internally at the company curate a reel and some video content. For us, our research advocate picks a topic that's top of mind for internal researchers. So this month, it's about how do people outside of research orgs use Dovetail and interact with customers? So how does a PM, a designer, how do they work internally in Dovetail? And then they put together clips and voiceover based on their experience. And that happens once a month. It's a really simple ritual, but it's something that the team really looks forward to. And just having that on the calendar and knowing that we're going to get a really meaningful curated experience with the customer at least once a month has been huge.
It's actually really interesting. It's simple, yet effective. And the idea is that I'm sure there's many ideas that come from that, even just hearing the tone and enthusiasm or the frustration, if it's that sort of thing. And so I feel like bringing everybody together to have that as a constant ritual, like you said, is a really nice way to get people thinking and in the mindset that this is what we're thinking about, this is what we're ideating on. That's really interesting, actually. Shifting things a little bit, I guess, obviously, all around the customer and how they have an impact on using the product and decisions. To you, what does it mean to bring the customer into every decision?
Yeah. So we talked about this a little bit earlier, but again, I think one of the mistakes that organizations make is they bring customers into decisions, but not at the right time. They bring customers into decisions that have already been made. So this looks like folks within the organization may be using their own contexts and experiences and intuitions to make decisions, but then the kind of throwing it over the wall to research or customer-facing teams to sort of double-check the decision. And more often than not, the inertia is kind of against changing your mind at this point. And so that puts research or customer understanding on the back foot. So for me, bringing customers into every decision really looks like having customer-facing teams, which is broader than just research. So we're talking about customer success and support and anyone who's talking to customers on a regular basis, involved in not just crafting sort of the answer to a question, like what should we build, but actually the questions themselves. Like, is that even the right question to be asking at this point? So identifying areas of opportunity and then really finding the places where what users need and what the company needs in order to grow, trying to find that overlap as much as possible. I think one of the best examples of this was an early decision that was made at Asana when we really started to go up market. So it became clear that we were going to need a dedicated product team that was focusing on the needs of the upmarket business. It had been a very effective SMB tool for a long time, but we were getting pulled sort of upmarket into these larger companies, which generally have different needs from their software tools. And I think it's a common mistake to say that, okay, we're going to go upmarket. That means we build like SAML and admin features, and we sort of just build exactly what our admins are asking for. But it became clear that actually serving the enterprise was going to require structuring the data model of the product differently and thinking about the complexity of work within large organizations. So what the team did internally was actually create a product team that had an embedded customer success manager on the team. So all of the sprint planning, all of the rituals had a customer-facing person on the team who also a portion of their time was going to be spent trying to bring real-time insights back from the customer. Right. So something like there's actually just a physical aspect of like get a team together that is actually truly cross-functional and bringing them into the decision early enough that you can actually influence the direction and not just validate like yes or no.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that, because even at Gameball, when we are working with our customers and we're coming up with, let's say, a loyalty strategy for them or a rewards program strategy, a lot of times what I'll recommend to my clients is saying, bring somebody in from different teams and actually have a proper cross-functional discussion around this, because loyalty is not just this one thing that you slap on at the end of your customer's experience. It's actually part of their entire journey with the brand. And so having somebody from sales, having somebody from marketing, having somebody from the product team is actually really helpful, because you have these different lenses on what a customer is going to be looking for, both from the actual customer-facing point of view to the back-end stuff that's happening where they're working on the things behind the scenes, and putting those things together are really just coming together from front and back and putting it all together to actually have some really intriguing insights. So very interesting that you actually do it with the physical form of the team coming together and bringing in that customer success person, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, I love that. And you're emphasizing too, trying to find the overlap, right? You're going to get different perspectives, and it's not about one perspective being right and moving in that direction. It's about what's the overlap in these perspectives in terms of what's going to help grow the business, what's going to help grow this type of customer and that, like really working to find the option that sort of satisfies the most of those, rather than trying to just pick one and go with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess to tie this all together, obviously, shocker, the podcast is about retention. So you know I'm going to bring it back to retention all the time. But one thing I was curious about is obviously the customer experiences from start to finish, even before they're part of the brand, I'm assuming too, it goes from everything that they have as an interaction with the company. But I'm curious about how you use customer insights to craft specifically customer retention strategies. So how you're using those insights on the retention aspect itself and very focused towards the retention side of things.
Yeah. So when I think about retention being the output of all of these different interactions and it being so critically important for the business itself, I think there's a couple of different aspects to this. So I can think of a specific example of where we wanted to understand what some of the retention drivers actually were, and then going out and executing on that plan. So one of the sort of non-obvious examples at Asana was that when I first started at Asana, we were seeing this issue where the more data you had in Asana, the slower the tool ran. And so our largest customer at the time was having the worst experience with the product.
Oh, no.
So that's something that puts you in a situation where your highest paying customers are going to struggle the most with the product. However, that's a small number of logos. So how are you going to balance prioritizing something that's ultimately only affecting a very small number of customers, but you can kind of see the writing on the wall and where it's going to go over time if we want to scale? So then there was some exploration into, okay, what's it going to take to fix it? And it was going to take 18 months of work for the entire product team to focus on redoing.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like, what do we do, right? And it's going to always be easier to push that project out. And I think one of the things that I really commend Asana for, and I learned a lot from, is thinking about the long term. And so basically bringing back a bunch of these insights from our biggest customers and seeing how committed they were to the product, but realizing that over a period of time, if they were going to use the product the way that we wanted them to, they were going to see performance degrade and degrade and degrade. So ultimately, the tough decision was made to prioritize performance, which meant we were on a feature freeze for almost a year. We weren't shipping new functionality at all. We were just working on performance. And ultimately, we were able to unlock that. So it felt a little bit like a slingshot, like we had to go backwards to go forwards again. But you can see, obviously, it set the company up for a pretty massive success over time. So that was one example where you were hearing from the customer-facing teams, and it was always going to be easier to kind of push that large project back. But the will and the sort of long-term thinking of the company made it such that we were like, okay, it's time to prioritize this and make sure that we're doing right by all of our customers, our biggest and our smallest.
That is so interesting and also very tough, because it's not easy to make that kind of decision, which I agree with you. It's commendable that the company went in that direction, because I think adding features and doing all these fun things, it's a very nice, bright, shiny object to just keep going after, and people look forward to working on those kinds of things. But having to do almost a slingshot style to pull back a little bit in order to propel even faster is absolutely necessary for something like the overall retention and making sure that, okay, great, once we have our customers, how do we keep them? How do we delight them? How do we continue to make sure that they stick around? So I really like that example because typically you hear of a new exciting initiative that was introduced on the heels of customer insights. But this one's very interesting because it's almost taking a step back to take two steps forward in order to go in there, make the tough decision, fix the hard stuff, and go forward with a better product. So that is really, really interesting. And I'm curious, just to kind of bring our conversation to a close here, have you as a customer experienced something where you've seen a brand take insights and do something really interesting with it? I'm always curious on the customer point of view, since you study this day in, day out.
Yeah, that's good. I'm such a fan of Farmer's Dog. You can not see my dog, but she's just off camera. So Farmer's Dog is like a raw food for dogs.
Yep, yeah.
A gourmet food for dogs. And obviously there's a bunch of logistical complexity for a company like that. We had an issue where it's totally on us. We were out of town and the food can't sit outside for any period of time. We wrote to them and said, oh no, like we're going to be out of town at this certain time. And they just covered it. They were like, we'll just send you another box for free at the time, you know, that you actually are home. And it was something where if the dog doesn't have food, like it's actually quite high stakes for us,
Absolutely,
right? Yeah. It leads to this logistical issue. And so I think you felt like you were talking to somebody who was also a pet owner. You felt like you were talking to somebody who could get it and wasn't going to put us through a bunch of logistical rigmarole. So I think that's another good example of how having great support. I think our Dovetail support team is one of the best in the business. Having someone real that you can talk to and is going to help you problem solve, even if it is quote unquote your fault for being out of town and not thinking through something. I was thinking about that because I'm like, what product or service I'm fully retained on? Like I'm going to expand. And then Farmer's Dog for sure. They've just been so thoughtful and they're so consistent. And the times that we have interacted with support have been so positive. So,
you know, every time I ask people this question, people honestly rarely mention that the product is great. Even if they really like the product, they say, oh yeah, the product was fine, whatever. But it's actually how I felt interacting with the brand. Also, because I think in this day and age, with such a crazy takeover of AI and the rise in automation, it's so easy to tell the difference between talking to a human and talking to an AI chatbot or whatever it is, that you really tend to appreciate those human relationships and someone caring enough about your dog in order to actually take those steps to do something about the fact, even though it was actually you that made the mistake. So it's funny because I would say over the past maybe 9 or 10 podcast episodes that we've recorded, every single person has made a mention that they were really thoughtful or they went the extra mile or they made me feel really appreciated or something to do with how they felt, not even just the product itself. And I think that says a lot around understanding the customer insights and bringing them into the decision and bringing them into every aspect of what's going on. So I really, really like that. All right, well, we have one little last little piece of the episode that we typically do, which is called the lightning round. So lightning round question number one, what is something in marketing that isn't popular, but is essential and required?
This is a really good question. And I was thinking about it last night. I think it's got to be saying no. I'm not in marketing, but, you know, obviously work very closely with marketing folks. And marketing is such a cross-functional discipline and it forces you to balance having really, really strong relationships with all your cross-functional partners and also like setting very clear boundaries and priorities so your team can execute effectively. And so it's super, super hard, but figuring out the right way to push back and be clear about what you're prioritizing and really maintaining focus for your team is super important. So it's got to be saying no.
Okay, that's an interesting one. Also, because I guess you're balancing a bunch of different things in one go that you have to be able to focus.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Okay. Question number two, what attribute does every great marketer need?
This feels a little bit like a gimme, but it's got to be customer centricity, right? I think about something our old head of go-to-market at Dovetail, Brian, used to say, and he would say, the person who talks to the most customers will have the best ideas. Like if you only talk to internal stakeholders about your product or about the strategy, you're going to hit a local maximum of how good your ideas can be. It's capped by how smart the other people in the room are, right? But you can almost always come up with a new and constructive and productive ideas if you go out and talk to customers. So both Brian and I had our Calendly link in the product. If customers finished a trial and they wanted to schedule time or talk to someone at Dovetail, they would talk to either me or Brian. Having that drip of calls on the calendar was just like invaluable for us as we were thinking about new product and go-to-market changes, specifically some around monetization. We just needed to have our finger on the pulse of what was happening. So,
okay, love that. Okay, and last but not least in the lightning round, you have to do a marketing campaign for a type of pet. Which animal are you choosing and why? Shocker.
Well, this one feels like a gimme too, given what I was just talking about. But it's got to be shelter pit bulls, which is what I have.
Oh, she's sitting over my corner.
Yeah. Marketing campaign. They are the sweetest, most loyal dogs in the world. They're such companion dogs, which I think is what everyone kind of wants out of a dog. And they do have a bit of a bad rap. So I would definitely put a marketing campaign together. Lots of photos of her cuddling with our cat and how sweet she is. So yeah, a marketing campaign for all those shelter dogs that need homes for sure.
Oh, I love it. Very good. Very good. Okay. And absolutely last but not least, we always like to end on a piece of advice. So is there a piece of marketing or life advice that someone shared with you once that has always stayed with you?
Yeah, I'm in a cohort of operators called the Club for Glue People. It's put on by Molly Graham, and she has an amazing article about the monster chewing on your leg. But there's a piece of advice in there that's just about to remember how lucky we are to be building new companies and products. And so I always think just because it's hard doesn't mean it's bad. It's actually the good parts. And so just remembering to be really grateful and fortunate that we're getting to build something no one's ever built before. And that always stays with me.
I love that. And also a nice piece of advice while people will be listening to this episode and getting a lot of insights and help to get through some of those hard times that I'm sure a lot of people are experiencing while trying to navigate all of this. So with that, we'll bring it to a close. And thank you so, so much, Sarah, for joining us. I know this was a really valuable episode. I learned so much. So I'm excited for our listeners to have a listen and learn a lot as well. And probably check out Dovetail right after that, because I think everything is centered around customer insights. And I think it's really interesting for all the different insights around customer experience and the whole retention arm that you mentioned today. So thank you so much for joining us. It was really lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you. I really appreciated the chat.
Retain, the Customer Retention Podcast, is brought to you by Gameball. If you want to turn casual buyers into loyal lifetime customers, make sure to check out the episode description to book a demo with Gameball today. Also, make sure to subscribe to Retain the Customer Retention Podcast in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.